On this episode of Still Loading, gotta go fast. Hello all, and welcome back to this episode of Still Loading. For this week, it's a bonus episode of Still Loading. It's right, it's going to be a kind of a short one. I don't really plan on being able to talk too long about the game I'm going to cover for today. And for those who, you know, probably already read the title, you're going to know what game I'm covering. But I just wanted to talk about something. I've been really happy with the podcast lately, and I wanted to do kind of a little mini bonus episode on the off week this week. And kind of go back to my Hidden Gems game, or my Hidden Gem series. I've only really had two games so far in the Hidden Gem series, and I've really wanted to come back to it, and I really wanted to dive into another one. And so far, now that I'm thinking about it, every game I've covered is on the PS2, or at least was released on the PS2 if it wasn't already an exclusive for the PS2, and this one is no different. The game I am talking about today is Kinetica. And Kinetica, for those who don't know, is a futuristic racing game. And for those who know me, I'm not a big racing game fan. Now, but the reason I chose this game specifically is because back when I was first kind of getting into video games, and I shouldn't say getting into video games, I was pretty heavy into video games at that moment. I already had the N64 for a number of years, and I played it a lot. But the reason I chose this game specifically is that this was on a demo disc. My uncle had a, out of everyone in my family, my uncle was the first one to get a PS2, and I vividly remember going over to his house a lot and playing games on the demo discs. Because he didn't have a lot of games. He only had like a handful of ones that he really liked, and that was about it. Actually, one of the games that I want to cover in the future is one that he introduced me. It's called Sled Storm, but that's another racing game. But once again, like I said before, I'm not a big racing game fan, but there's a handful that just like really get me. So to go back to that, though, I played a lot of games or demos on those old demo discs. For those who don't know what the demo discs are, back before you could play demos or try out games online, you would actually get, in the video game magazines, they would ship discs like PlayStation 2 discs or Xbox discs, excuse me, of just kind of like a sampler pack of just like a handful of demos. And I actually have a whole bunch of PS1 demo discs. There's a lot of cool stuff on there. And they would also tease new games that way. They would have trailers of games on there. They would have like I already said, demos. They'd have little like behind the scenes things on some of these. These demo discs had a lot of really cool behind the scenes stuff that you don't really see too much anymore. And which is a shame because it's a, there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of cool stuff on it. But in any case, one of the games on one of the random demo discs, I don't even remember what other games were on this specific disc, but I played Kinetica for the first time on it. And I want to say part of it captured me about this game was that there was, how can I put this? I was a young man going through puberty, and I didn't quite understand everything at the moment. And Kinetica has some, they're not even like scandalous visuals at all. They're not even risque by any stretch of the imagination, but to like a 12-year-old kid not really understanding everything about what's happening, it was a little bit, I enjoyed it a little bit, but let me talk about it. So what is Kinetica? Like I said, it's a futuristic racing game. Well, the premise of it is that racers, you don't really race cars or vehicles, but you race yourself. The racers in this game wear what they call kinetic suits, and they're pretty much like, think of like the Spartan armor, but wheels on your arm, on your hands and feet. And that's pretty much how it would work. So it's high speed, almost like it's a combination, reminds you of like Street Luge in the sense that like the racers for Luge are very close to the ground and they're going very fast, so it's very dangerous if they crash. but it's also like a racing car game, like a car game, because you have wheels and you have, like, you know, there's different stats and abilities to these different suits and whatnot. So it was a really interesting concept because it was one of the earliest PS2 games out there. It was released in 2001 for the PS2. And what's even more crazy is that it was developed by the makers of the God of War series, Santa Monica, Sony Santa Monica, or whatever it is. Santa Monica Studios, that's the word I was looking for. And one of the lead developers on it was David Jaffe. I don't know how you pronounce his name. For those who do know, let me know how it's pronounced. Type it out phonetically for me if you don't mind. David J was one of the lead designers on it. He is the guy who was the game director for the first God of War game and the creative director for the second God of War game. And this guy's got some interesting credits to his name. He was also the designer and one of the designers for the original Twisted Metal game. He was the game director as well as one of the designers and producers for Twisted Metal 2. He also worked on Twisted Metal Black, and then eventually, obviously, God of War 1 and 2. And then he kind of splintered off and did his own thing, and kind of his most recent game was a game called Drawn to Death, which didn't really receive great reviews. And it was a third-person shooter combined with a brawler. I've never even heard of this game. I might have to actually... I mean, I've heard of it because, you know, I just looked it up, but I've never really played it, so I might actually have to check that out. In any case, but this game's interesting because it's got a high pedigree of designers who have worked on really popular series. Like I said, the Twisted Metal series. Or at least the lead director worked on the Twisted Metal series, and then the studio that made Connecticut ended up going to make the God of War series. So it's interesting that this is kind of like almost like a relic of a bygone era. Like, it's something you don't really hear about, because your people always talk about God of War. Not a bad thing, it's a great series, but this was their first PS2 game, and like I said, it was called Connecticut. And so you would race these, basically humans wearing these kinetic suits racing each other at high velocities, at high speeds. That's the word I was looking for. And as per usual, just about every racing game, there is a collective of characters, and they each have their different strengths and weaknesses. Some of the heavier guys are harder to bump. You know, it's almost very Mario Kart-ish in a sense. It actually kind of reminds me of a realistic Mario Kart, because you have some racers that are lighter so they can go faster, and they can take turns a little bit better, but if you bump them, they fly around, and it's harder to get, you know, regain control. Then you also get some of the heavier characters, which might move a little bit slower and might not be able to take turns as well, but it's just a tank. You can't stop them if they hit you. So they have that balance and dichotomy of all the different racers. But the reason I say it's like Mario Kart, it's not just like the weights and like the feel of all the different racers. You also get power-ups. You also can actually kind of take out the enemy and take out other racers. You can also have different boosts that you can use periodically. One of the ways to get boosts is to do tricks. As you fly through the air, you can hit R1 and move the left joystick, and you'll do a various number of tricks, and the more tricks you do, the more combos you do, the higher the boost you get. And then you can hit R2 to boost for as long as you have the boost meter filled or available. Some of the power-ups, though, that you can get, you can get a 30% boost, you can get, which just increases whatever you have on your boost meter by 30%. Increases 30, it fills up 30% of your boost meter. You also can get a power-up called Drafting, which when activated allows you to absorb boost energy from another racer if you drive behind the opponent's draft cone. So it kind of plays into the actual racing strategy of drafting, you know, staying behind the racer in front of you, so that way you have less air resistance, so you can build up more speed and, you know, slingshot around them. That's the word I was looking for. You can get a power-up for faster stunts. So once again, faster stunts, you can do more in the limited amount of time that you have, which will then give you more boosts, which will then help you go faster. You can also get a burst attack. This is the move that I was saying before that lets you actually attack enemies, where you can actually take some of the other racers out. It's not like Mario Kart, though, where, you know, you can hurl a shell and it'll go distance, or you get the lightning bolt and it zaps everyone except for you. And this is a very in the immediate vicinity. It's a short, it's a small radius that will actually take out the enemies. You can also get an infinite boost, which lets you, you know, just slam on the boost button for an extended period of time and you don't have to worry about it. You will never run out of boost during that time. And then finally, the last one you get is called a super boost, and it replenishes your boost meter with a special boost energy that pushes limits of the kinetic suit. And yeah, so those are all the different power-ups you get. Now, the way you can get power-ups is like sprinkled throughout the track. There are different different colored energy sources. They're just little energy power-up bars that you grab. If you grab 5 yellow power-up bars, then you can get access to one of those power-ups I mentioned before. There's some different color ones. Purple one, I believe. Let me double check on that. Yeah, so you need 5 of the regular, and they're yellow, the 5 regular yellow crystals to get a power-up, or 1 red super crystal to give you a power-up immediately. So you don't actually have to keep collecting 5 of them, you just get one immediately. But obviously they're a lot more rare and they're harder to find throughout the levels. And honestly, that's about it. I mean, that is the game in a nutshell. What was cool about the game, besides the fact that it kind of had a Mario Kart Lite feel, is that it... all the racers hugged the wall, so it was very, it felt almost like, not zero G, but it messed with your expectations of gravity. So, you know, you would be driving, it's almost kind of like, how can I describe it? In Mario Kart 8, how, like, you can, like, you have all the different gravity sections where, like, you know, you'll be driving on the ceiling or the side and then drive underwater and all this other stuff. It's like that, where the racetrack, you know, goes at 90 degree angles straight down at some points, and you just go along for the ride. And it's kind of interesting because I don't know if... like I said, I'm not a big racing game fan, but it's a pretty early game to introduce a concept like that. So as a kid, I remember it blowing my mind when I would play the demo of this. And it's actually what even caused me to pick up the game in the first place, is because I remember vividly, like, the art style was really unique. It felt very anime in a sense, especially like... the music they would choose kind of added to the that anime aesthetic. So the art's already very anime, and then the music kind of adds to it as well. It reminds me a lot of, like, it's a very, like, techno house-ish type of music. It's the best way I can describe it. Not quite Daft Punk, but very, it's like early 2000s techno. But the artwork is honestly really good. It's really stunning. And because all the different characters are so unique, and like the concept is so unique, it builds a world for you in a really cool way that other racing games, at least that I've played, don't do, because you can kind of start piecing together with your imagination all the different things that kind of led to a world of these kinetic suits where racers wear them and drive at 300 plus miles an hour down literally sides of buildings. It's a really fun game, and those who haven't tried it, I definitely suggest it. My only criticisms of it overall, are that the controls are a little floaty, at least with the racer I played with. I didn't always feel in control. You drift and slide around way too easily. It makes it a little unfun because you don't 100% feel in control. Maybe it's just because I'm bad at racing games. And as I played a little bit more of it, I got better at it. But the way to actually beat the game is you have to come in there's a total of 15 races. There are 4 races, and there's different, they're essentially called like chapters, for lack of a better term. They actually call them something, I can't remember what it was, but essentially there's 4 races in each chapter, and there's 3 chapters, and if you get first in each race, you get a bonus race. So that's why there's a total of 15 different racetracks to choose from. And the way you progress is in the first chapter, the first section of the game, you have to come in either first, second, or third place to progress. As long as you do that, then you can move on to the next racetrack. In the second chapter of the game, you have to come in first or second in order to progress to the next racetrack. And obviously in the final chapter or section, you have to come in first in every race in order to progress to the end. And yeah, that I'm actually amazed I was able to talk about this for even like 10, 12 minutes. This was just a really short episode that I wanted to talk about, kind of like a game that I don't really see too much or hear, I don't see being talked about all that often. And I always thought it was a really cool racing game. So I definitely suggest giving it a try. If you guys have any suggestions on other hidden gem games that I may not have played, please send them my way. I'm more than willing to. I love trying out new games, even if it's something that's may not be my cup of tea, like this racing game here. But it was definitely fun and worth trying. So thank you all for listening. I know, like I said, this is a very short episode. This is just a bonus. A really cool thing, actually, I wanted to talk about before we go off. The first sponsor, not of the show directly, but of the Podbeard Network. So the network I'm a part of, Podbeard, we are sponsored by the website Seat Giant. For those who haven't used it before, it's pretty much like SeatGeek or StubHub, but Seat Giant, it is an amazing website where you can buy tickets for concerts, sporting events, all these different places, all these different events in your area, and they have events. You can either go to seatgiant.com or seatgiant.ca for Canada, and they have good prices. I was actually looking at, for those who know me, I'm a big hockey fan. I was looking up tickets to, I'm in the Philly area, so I was looking up tickets to the Flyers, and there are some really great prices on there for tickets. And if you use the promo code Podbeard, you'll save 5% off on your purchase. So what do you have to lose? That's it. I'm not going to really harp on it too much. I'm not going to dive into that, like go crazy on that ad too much, but like, I'm super thankful for this chance. Like, it's honestly crazy that I'm even part of anything that I can actually get a sponsor and even, you know, kind of tangentially, kind of whisper down the lane-ish. But so go check them out, seatgiant.com or seatgiant.ca, promo code Podbeard. And I guess to finish it all up, some quick shout-outs. Shout-out to the Podbeard Network. Two Guys in a Game, The Hotter Show, Creeper Sleep, Honestly Lazy Show, Boy Stick, Dark Runner Games, everyone on the Podbeard Network. And also shout-out to my buddy, my friend Erica over at the Apex in the Abyss podcast. Also shout-outs to the geeks at the No Geeks Allowed podcast, KNOW, No Geeks Allowed. My buddy Josh, also named Josh, over at Firespin Gaming. He's a YouTube channel that does game hunting. He goes to yard sales and all this other stuff and finds amazing deals. The thing he corrected me on was he found Earthbound. I was thinking it was $8. He found it for $2.50, so he's a jerk. But in his most recent episode, he showed getting the Funtastic, not Super Nintendo's, the Funtastic N64s. Go check it out. It was an awesome short little episode, and I really enjoyed watching it. And yeah, I think that, oh, shout out to there's so many freaking shout outs. Drinks with Larry Crew, amazing comedy podcast. Also Christian and Damon's Amazing Nerd Show. And that should be it. So thank you all again for listening. You can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. You can also email me at StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. And that should finally do it. I swear to God, the plugs and the plugs at the end and the shout outs take longer than some of my episodes. But no, sincerely, thank you to all my friends who have been supporting me, all the people that I've gave shout outs to. They have all been supporters of the show in some way, shape, or form. So a sincere thank you to them. And that should wrap it all up. So thank you all once again for listening, and I will see you all next time.